I have a few announcements this morning for that I want to give before I start my message. One of them is the Hebrids text me. They're going to be on their way back from Alberta. And Rick Pleck also will be coming and ministering next week here. He'll have a message and he's going to sing. So if you want some very good uplifting stuff. I believe he's very good. I enjoy listening to him. As a matter of fact, I used to listen to his singing all the time. It was the Gospel Troubadours, and I remember down at Southland Farm where me and Dwight used to work, do tractor work, and I'd have his cassette playing all the time, especially the one of what's this one song that he's very well known for is. Life is like a mountain railroad. Anyway, there's one good cassette. I'm sure he has many other ones, but I think I wore that thing out. That was really good. Anyway, so if you want to be uplifted, I'm not saying I won't uplift you today, but next week, something to look forward to, Rick Platt and the Hebrids. And before I get into my message, well, let's rise and ask the Lord for his blessings. Thank you, Heavenly Father, again for another morning. Lord, we are thankful, Lord. We have breath. We have life. In you, we have our being. We exist. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I pray for the Hebrews, for their safe travel back from Alberta. Rick Platt, Lord Jesus, you'll surround our vehicle with your holy angels. You'll be with them. You'll give them a good message for us that'll uplift us. Some good songs, Father. Anoint them, all of them, in Jesus' name. And you will also be with us here. Open our understanding, Lord, our spiritual discernment, Lord, that we will go after that gift and that we will not be deceived. In Jesus' name I ask this. Amen. And again, my message will be a topic of spiritual discernment and trying the spirits. There's two different things there. The Bible talks about spiritual discernment. It's a gift of spiritual discernment. And then there's, as believers, we're supposed to try the spirits. Again, spiritual discernment is for checking doctrine to see if they're of God, but trying the spirits is to test people to see whether they're believers or not. In 2 Corinthians 3, verse 6, it says the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. So if you just go into the letter of the book, the letter of the law, it'll kill you. It's actually detrimental to your existence almost, because the word of God is meant to be interpreted by the Holy Spirit. Apart from the Holy Spirit, you can see what the word of God has done. The Bible has started so many religions all over the world. You probably couldn't even put a number on it. It'd be in the thousands. People claiming certain verses for themselves, and there's a lot of holes in their doctrines then, because because the word backs itself up if the Holy Spirit is involved, because it all makes sense. You understand why God in the Old Testament killed off thousands of people, because they were demonic infested. They were hybrids. They were not normal people, and that's why God did these things. And it's not only that. There's lots of things that where we see if the Holy Spirit is not there, you will have come up with something that is not scripturally sound, because the Holy Spirit is not there to do the interpreting for you. In Matthew 24, verse 24, out of the King James Version, I'll give you start off with a real good verse of encouragement for those who want to know the truth. And this is the scripture. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. This deception that Jesus is talking about here is exclusive to unbelievers. That's it. Who have been given strong delusion to believe a lie. That's what this is for. Because it says, and simply because they do not love the truth. Go back to that verse. It says, in so much that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. It is not possible that the elect will be deceived, because they know. When something happens to a born-again person, has become born again, you cannot take that away from him. I experienced it. It happened. And all you who've experienced that, you know that is not possible. You can maybe water it down, do different things, but they will. If you go back to the root, they will never, ever change your mind on what happened to you. That was a personal experience. When going back to the time that where we got excommunicated, they figured if they could get rid of Pastor Dave at the time, it would solve our problems. It'll be all over. But no, they had to deal with young people who had the experience of becoming born again. It had nothing to do with Pastor Dave, who's now Pastor Dave here. At the time, it had to do everything, and now with our own experience. I experienced that new birth. Something happened to me. Maybe he was the sower who sowed the seed and did the watering, but God gave the increase. He showed and showed up at the time of where I saw that I needed help, and he's the one who delivered. So I think it's far easier to spot Antichrist than it is to discern false narratives or doctrines. In other words, tares, if you will. I'll get into this here. So in today's message, I will give you a different perspective of this parable, which is the parable of Matthew 13, verse 24 to 30, out of the King James Version. So another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed a good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. Now some interpret this to be fakes within the church, and it can be interpreted that way too, but another perspective of this parable can be about the seeds, about seeds of discord within a person's doctrines that cause division within the body of Christ. For example, I'll give you some examples of what different theologies are within believers that actually bring separation within the body of Christ. And you cannot take away that these people are not born again. That you don't want to do. Because if they profess to be born again, you have to give them the benefit of the doubt that they are born again. But the doctrines they believe in is another subject. So let's look at some of them. Just a few. Number one, baptize in the name of Jesus only. There's Christians who believe we baptize in the name of Jesus only. And they do have one verse, but the Bible is clear on it, that we baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And to bring division over something like that, to me, is absolutely childish. And then here's another divisive one, the gifts of the Spirit ceased after the apostles died. Well, we know that's not true. And I'll get into this a little bit more here. Or another one would be, there are some believers who try to live like the Jews, the kosher laws. They keep the Jewish laws and and traditions as believers. Well, that thing is over. That era is gone. Do I say we shouldn't keep the law? No, the law is now written in your heart by the Holy Spirit. So the law you do not run after now anymore for righteousness, because righteousness is by faith in Jesus Christ. It's been given to you. Or even believing that there is no eternal hell. I know believers who don't think that hell is eternal. Well, Scripture proves otherwise. Hell is eternal. What's the point of this all if hell isn't eternal? So there you go. And then there are many more strange teachings that Christians hold as truth. So not excluded is on the other spectrum would be lustful spirits that Christians silently struggle with, where they have learned how to keep this lustful spirit at bay, but never having victory over it either. So there's another one. You can be a believer and struggle with spirits, even though you don't succumb to them, but they're always there, lustful spirits especially, where you're always tempted, but you say, no, you can get rid of that sucker. But the longer you wait, the harder it becomes. And as I'll go into more scripture, you'll see why. And that is why I see all these tares in your heart and mind, that they will be burnt off when we are tried by the fire of judgment. Believers who aggressively push such doctrine as I just mentioned are extremely hard to fellowship with. You will always debate. That's the problem with stuff like that. If you put Christ and his salvation and his spirit and what he wants you to fellowship with first, you will actually have an uplifting and a fruitful conversation, something that will actually benefit you instead of tear you down. And just a side note, if the preaching of the cross offends you, so be it. We cannot and will not apologize for that. So there's one thing where we cannot be worried whether you're offended or not. That's why I'm here where I'm at, because it offended some people that I believe in the preaching of the cross, and that the only thing that I be, that that uh, separates us from most other religions. It's the power of the cross of Jesus Christ. So here's another reason I interpret this parable this way. It's easier to identify the spirit of Antichrist than a false doctrine. And I will explain this a bit later in my message. So remember, you can be saved and still possess false doctrine. But if you have a gift of discernment, it's quite natural and easy to discern false doctrines. Hang on there a bit. Also, once you become born again, you can fall in with the wrong crowd that teaches strange doctrines. That is when you become spiritually irresponsible and seeds of false doctrines, in other words, tares can be sown in your mind and disrupt the unity of the body of Christ. So those tares can grow into something so big that you cannot ever get rid of until the judgment seat and the fire of God is going to burn them off. So now continue in verse 26 of that same parable. But when the blade was sprung up, brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also, came later. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seeds in the field? From where do the tares come from? And he said unto them, An enemy has done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then go that we go and gather them up? And he said, No, lest while you gather up the tares, you will root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, bind them in bundles and burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. In 1 Corinthians 3, verse 15, it says this. We've had this scripture here many times. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So all those tares that you are involved in or got involved in will burn up. They're tares in your life. So here I'm going to do a little bit of explaining on what the tares mean. What the sowing of those tares, how it happened. So at some time in the night means when you were not paying attention, an enemy sowed weeds among the wheat, tares in other words, and departed without being seen. Rather than thinking of this parable in the terms of agriculture, rather consider the seeds sown as seeds of our education, socialization, and consumption of information. This is where a lot of bad things come from, how we consume things with our intellect. Often we assume that what we are being taught is correct and good, from a source of goodwill. But in truth and in reality, the lies and deception can be sown in fields of our minds without our recognition. And I'll get into how you recognize that. What do we do then? Do we decide that if some information is distrustful, we should trust nothing at all? No, I think not. But rather, have a spirit of discernment. So what we need is a spirit of discernment so that we are mindful as those seeds grow and learn to trace their roots in time. So seeds can be hard to see for what they are. You don't know what seeds are very often. They're very harder to identify than actually the plant that grows up. And once the fruits are up, then you can really see what it is. But tall weeds of false doctrine wrapped around your actual fruit, or in this case, the wheat, is almost impossible for an individual to recognize within himself until it comes to fruition. Like self-righteousness in a believer's heart could fit this category. If you are wrapped up, or if self-righteousness is wrapped up in your spirit and thinking that your rights are being added to what already Christ has done on the cross, that is to me tares. That's how I would interpret that. That's a tear in your life. So we see it all the time, though, in new believers, especially when they come out of religious backgrounds. They fall for the old lies that they were once delivered from. So right now they're back, those lies that the person who sowed those seeds came back with those things they were delivered from. The person who sowed those seeds, the evil one, came back with those same lies and sowed them when you did not pay attention. Maybe through somebody well-meaning, but nonetheless, they're detrimental to your Christian life. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 12:9, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 and 10. And this will explain why you can really focus in on cutting these false doctrines out of your life. It's talking about the gifts of the Spirit here. Verse 9, to another, faith is given by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. So right dab smack in the middle of all the gifts is a gift that every believer needs to have. And that's the discerning of spirits. So now consider this. If the gifts of the Spirit ceased when the early church era was over, guess what we're lacking now? A gift of discernment. So let's continue this a bit more. Like some pastors teach now that these gifts went out with the early church. Now I can fully understand why they consider the gifts of the Spirit in the church today as false doctrine, because there is no spiritual discernment there. If you think all those gifts went out with the apostles, guess what other gift went out with the apostles? The Spirit, the gift of discernment. So you have no discernment anymore. So they do not have the gift of discernment. Simply put, they do not believe in the gifts of the Spirit, and that would also disqualify them from having this valuable gift, the gift of discernment. So they rather judge things by their own fleshly wisdom when it comes to spiritual matters, and that, my friends, never has a good outcome. So you cannot judge spiritual matters with your fleshly mind. You will never get the right conclusion out of it, but you will only sow seeds of discord within the Church of Christ. In other words, Satan is using it to tear us apart. To tear the enemy that we're fighting is not each other. So be very mindful. Anytime somebody comes along with something well-meaning, check it out with the Spirit of God. Check it out to see if it's fruitful. Check it out if it brings unity in the body of Christ. If it does not bring unity, choose to disagree in a peaceful manner and say, let us agree. Let us go back to our roots and see what we can agree on. I know there's something you'll agree on, and that is that born-again experience and what Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross in taking our sins, past, present, future, and throwing them into the depths of the ocean, and now we can agree on that and be joyful about it. So trying the spirits. Now I want to take a look at the difference between, now I talked about discernment of spirits, now it's the trying of spirits. And in 1 John 4, chapter 4, verse 1 to 6, out of the King James Version, it's talking about trying the spirits. Well, take a look, and it's much easier to me to identify somebody who doesn't have Christ. To actually spot God haters among us is not such a hard job. You just have to have scripture, and then I will repeat them or read them out of 1 John here. So the first verse goes like this: Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know you the Spirit of God. This is how you'll know. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. If you've ever been in a session where somebody was driving out a devil, they do not confess that Jesus is Christ. They cannot. They know that he's Lord, but they will not confess it. Until the time comes when they will confess, because it says everyone will fall to their knees and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But this they will not do. This person who is not born again will not confess Christ is come in the flesh of God, because it says here they will not. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. Very straightforward and to the point. And this is that spirit of Antichrist. So there's a spirit of Antichrist already at work. And it's called Antichrist for a reason. It means it's against Christ. Whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now is already in the world. You are of God, little children. Now it's talking to us. You are of God, little children. You have overcome them. It means that spirit of Antichrist and of the world, because greater is he that is in you and in me than he that is in the world. So that spirit is great within us, that it can identify any false, spirit that is contrary to God, like I said in the beginning, that is, we will not be deceived because of this. Under Matthew 24:24. And then in closing here, I have one final scripture closing out of 1 John 4:6. It says, we are of God. He that knows God hears us. That's how you differentiate for who's God's and who's not. The people that are of God, they hear you. And he that is not of God hears us not. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So this is how you know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error, simply because the spirit of error does not recognize God. So in closing out, I want to just share something that'll really lift your hearts up. If this was a downer for you, it's not supposed to be. It's supposed to uplift you in knowing that you are on the right track. You belong to God, and you should be able to discern spirits, and you should be able also to recognize the spirit of Antichrist. I want to just read something out of a king that I shared a few Sundays ago. It's King Jehoshaphat. He had two armies surround him. And he knew both armies were bigger than his army. So his problem was, he was between a rock and a hard place, basically, where he knew he was going to be defeated. So what happened was, he cried out to God. So he got the whole assembly of Israel together. He told them to cry out to God. So in the midst of this crying out to God, somebody stood up and with what the Lord had told him and said, don't be afraid. And they gave him instructions on what to do. The armies were still there, both big armies, and he knew he was in for a defeat. And the Lord said to him, the battle is mine, not yours. Don't worry about it. So he gave him instructions. Go out, lead with the singers. The singers went up front. So they went out into the battlefield, and they started singing. The second they started singing, the enemy turned against each other, and they started killing each other. Now jump forward, 2024. We got our political leaders. You look at them and you see the hopelessness of freedom. It seems to be choking off. And then you see the news media on the other side, both of them. It looks like we've got two armies on both sides. If you look at it, our situation, from our point of view, Jehoshaphat's point of view, it's hopeless. It's hopeless, but start singing, start praising God, lead with that, and we will see the battle is not ours, it's the Lord's. We will see victory yet. You can mark my words. I'll say, like Nancy Pelosi said, you can take that to the bank. Hers failed, this will not. The God that we trust in will come through yet. We will see the defeat of the enemy yet. Thank you, Jesus.